Blog Talk Radio.
We own this country.
We own it. And it's not you owning it and not politicians owning it. Politicians are employees of ours. And they're just going to come around and beg for votes every few years, and it's the same old deal. But I just think that it's important that you realize that whether you're Democrat or whether you're a Republican or whether you're Libertarian or whatever, when somebody does not do the job, we got to let them go.
When your entire culture is under attack, you need the country's number one voice in defense of our American way of life. You need an ally in the fight against tyranny and corruption. You need your weekly dose of Lisa Payne Nager. Missouri Grassroots Radio Network proudly adds our own beauty to America the Beautiful, your own culture vigilante, Ms. Lisa Payne Nager.
Welcome to Culture Vigilante. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio, and you are listening to Lisa Payne Nager and Cindy McGee of Show Me Patriots. We're happy to be here with you again on this Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, as we are every week. Hello, Cindy. We haven't really had a chance to talk for the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Do we have all the commercials lined up?
Well, I've got most of them. I think they need a little work, but we'll get it done.
Okay, it's good. We're kind of rushing. We're both kind of flying by the seat of our pants this week. It's been a busy week for everybody. Busy week in Missouri, busy week across the country, a lot of stuff going on. I don't know about you, but it just kind of feels like it's been machine gun session, you know. There's just been so much going on a national level and on a state level here in Missouri and probably states all across the country. It's kind of like, you know, let's just see how much stuff we can bombard them with, and then we're going to sneak that really bad stuff in under the radar while they're trying to watch what's going on. I think it's bad news. I think we're going to be in big trouble when the middle of May rolls around and the session closes.
I think when the dust settles, we're all in for a big surprise.
I think, you know, remember a couple of years ago when we successfully defeated China Hub because there was such a backlash against it, and people, you know, and we were watching the legislature and watching the bills go through, and they thought they were going to sneak it through, but we caught it, and we kind of killed it because they put it through and it tried to do it, and then they tried to get it through in a special session and we killed it again, and they're going to get it through this time.
Yeah.
If you go to Ann Zayer's bill page, there are about 100 bazillion jillion tax credit bills on her lineup, and there's little pieces of the China Hub in every single one of them. So I think we're going to get the China Hub.
Well, I think we're all learning that if our legislators, be they Washington, D.C., or at state level, or city, or county, or wherever, that, you know, they're more than willing to sit back and then take advantage of the fact that we do have lives. And our job is not to be in the legislature, on the city council, in Washington, D.C. And, yes, we have a responsibility as citizens to pay attention and follow it. But, Lisa, I think they take advantage of what they want to do, what the lobbyists are padding their wallets to get done. They'll get it done by hook or by crook. They'll get it done if they have to do it one piece at a time. They'll get it done hiding it in other pieces of legislation. And, oh, my goodness, haven't we learned? We've got to pass it before you know what's in it.
Yeah, well, they know what's in it. They're getting paid.
And our state legislature is really no different. I wish I could say that they are, but they're not. They bear watching. And I don't care what is behind their name. They're gonna do what they think is right and what the lobbyists they listen to tell them to do.
Yep, I think the lobbyists and the people that are funding their coffers. You know, it's really about who supplies the most money to the campaign is the person who gets what they want through the legislature. And
I really think have to follow the money.
Yeah, I think that's what we have here in Missouri, for sure. And, you know, we're not any different than anywhere else, and I think that's the way it is on a national level. A lot of stuff has been going on in the news on a national level. We'll talk a little bit about that, too. Kind of wanted to start out tonight, wanted to give you an update or kind of a conclusion on we had the free market seminar on Monday and Tuesday this week, and it was very successful. I'm telling you, folks, it was the first time that Lauren Spivak has ever been to Missouri, and he just did a fabulous job. You know, I mean, I think people were kind of thinking, who wants to go and sit and listen to two nights of economic principles, you know, discussion for two nights in a row. But I'm telling you, it was a fabulous, fabulous presentation, very entertaining, you know, which is what you would never expect, but it was very entertaining, very easy to understand, very informative. I mean, some, you know, just the perspective that he gives. Some people brought their kids out. Some people brought their high school age kids out. I brought mine. And, you know, for them to be able to get that perspective on what free market principles are and how the market drives so many other aspects of our foundational liberties was just amazing. He's an amazing person to listen to on this issue. And, you know, if you have an opportunity to Google him, he's got some great YouTube videos out there. You should take advantage of that. And I think we're going to have him back in August. There were a few people at the seminar, very, very well attended. I think, and they were from various places around the region, you know, not just the St. Peter's area here. We had people coming from Washington, Missouri, and, you know, from Illinois. We had people coming from all the way from O'Fallon, Illinois, that came in to hear him. And
that's fantastic.
Oh, it was amazing. And nobody walked out of there disappointed, I'm telling you. So anyway, he's got a second part to this two-part series that he presented to us this week, and we're going to try to have him back in August. And I think some of the folks in the outlying areas are also going to try and have him, so we're going to kind of spread him out a little bit in farther reaching areas of Missouri outside the St. Louis area. So again, folks, we'll keep you updated on the progress of that, and let you know all the details about where he's going to come back. I think he'll come back to St. Peter's and any of the outlying areas. We will absolutely let you know where he's going to be. And if you're not in Missouri, if you're in another part of the country and you have an opportunity to hear Lauren speak on this issue, you need to go. You just need to make the time in your schedule. You need to go. And you need to take your kids with you, because I'm telling you, if they're in an institutional school, they are not getting this perspective, and it's a great perspective. And it's entertaining. They will not be bored. I kind of had to drag my daughter kicking and screaming a little bit. But she's a good kid, and she came along with me, and she was really, you know, really impressed and by what he had to say. And really, you know, she thought it was a great seminar. So I'm telling you, folks, it's a lot more than you bargained for. You're going to enjoy it. It's very entertaining. If you have the opportunity to see Lauren Spivak, the Free Market Warrior, take him up on it, because it's awesome. A couple other things. Okay, tonight we had a great Common Core show last week. A lot of great information, and we didn't, you know, just barely touch the surface on a lot of what Common Core is. And we're going to follow up a little bit on that later this evening. Karen Piper from parentledreform.org is going to be on with us. There's a Twitter war tomorrow, and we're going to tell you how to get involved with that. And we're going to talk to, she's going to be with Shane Vanderhart from Truth in American Education, and he's going to come and talk a little bit more about Common Core, so we'll talk to them in a little while. Usama Dakdok, there's been a lot of stuff in the news today. They've arrested three more suspects in the Boston bombing. And Usama has been a friend of the show. He's a great friend of ours. He's been on the show many times before. Usama is a Coptic Christian, born and raised in Egypt. And nobody talks truth about Islam like Usama does. And he's going to come on a little bit later this evening to talk about the Boston bombing and Islam and maybe some of the Benghazi tie-ins to that, and just give you the perspective that you're not going to get in the mainstream media, even Fox, especially Fox. I mean, if you've been following the coverage with the Boston bombing, Fox has really played down their case. Have you noticed that, how they've not really covered the issue very well?
Yeah, I have noticed that, as a matter of fact. They haven't covered it well at all. There are a lot of things missing that they really – it's absolutely mind-boggling.
Did you know that 7% of Fox is owned by Saudis?
Yes.
Yes.
And that would maybe begs the question, why didn't Fox cover the breaking news story from The Blaze about the Saudi that was arrested right after the bombing?
Yeah.
And they have the smoking gun to show that there was a connection. Mm-hmm. And it's really frightening that our government is not doing its job, and it's even more frightening that the free press, protected by our U.S. Constitution, is failing to do their job and to tell the people the truth.
And have you noticed that even The Blaze is no longer talking about that Saudi? Did they ever deport him? I don't even know what happened to him.
Nobody knows. They're still trying to find out, and they're not done with the story, but they're trying to – one of the things that I think is happening there, Lisa, is that they're trying to protect the informants who are really coming under fire, and the government is really out bent on finding out who they are and punishing them for releasing the information.
And that's the latest from that story is that they are trying, you know, whistleblowers are being punished.
Absolutely.
By the federal
Benghazi
government.
And now the bombing. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's the kind of stuff that you would have expected to see in a country like Nazi Germany, not the United States of America. Or
right?
Russia. Yes, absolutely. Yep. KGB kind of stuff.
I mean, we don't even know what kinds of freedoms that we've lost, I think. We've been, as my good friend, senior moment.
Don't you love those senior moments?
Ray Cuneo,
so
when he talks about Agenda 21, we've been slow boiled. And, you know, we don't even know. I mean, when I kind of felt that way this week when I was listening to Lauren Spivak talk about free market principles. He just went into all of these little aspects of our economy and, you know, what we used to have and what we're left with now. And I'm telling you, we've been slow boiled on so many levels, folks. We don't even know what we've lost. And what our predecessors, the freedoms that they enjoyed, we don't even know. And our children won't have a clue. So, I mean, this is just, it's frightening. It's just frightening. I think I'm going to spend the summer canning and buying water and all kinds of stuff.
That's probably a really good plan. It's really sad that, and I love that, Lisa. I think that really sums it up. We truly have been slow-boiled. It's the proverbial frog in the pot.
Yeah, exactly.
They've turned up the heat so slowly we haven't even realized that we're going to be boiled alive.
Yeah. And Bob Parker is going to be on with us a little bit later to talk about the DOR scandals. And, you know, they found some documents today. Mm-hmm. They found some documents that just kind of, you know, and it just kills me. I'll let Bob Parker, we won't go into details on this, but it just kills me. Nobody's talking impeachment, not even the Republicans. I heard on an interview on the radio today, the lieutenant governor was being interviewed, and he was asked, is this an impeachable offense? And he walked it back. He wouldn't say it. I won't even say the word impeachable was his quote. I won't say it because that's such a drastic move. I mean, oh, my gosh, really? You're a Republican and he's a Democrat. You can't impeach somebody? You know what? They're all protecting each other.
We'll let him talk about that, Lisa. That blows my mind because not only should there be an impeachment of at least two Missouri officials, but there should also be jail time for many.
Oh, no kidding.
Including the two that should be impeached.
No kidding.
So
absolutely.
I think that it's and that is the job of our legislature to do that.
Yeah.
That's their responsibility to the people of the state.
They're all sitting in Jefferson City wringing their hands trying to figure out how can we point a finger without actually having to do anything about it? I mean, that's the deal.
It's as plain as the nose in your face. Laws have been broken in the state by people that we elected that swore to uphold and defend those very laws. And on top of that, the harm was done to the citizens of the state of Missouri. Our good trust, faith, and trust in them has been completely and utterly decimated by what they've done.
That's
and they have endangered many Missourians, and their choices under the Constitution. It's really outrageous what's happened. And that they're not even, no one is even willing to say the word impeachment is really mind-blowing.
Yeah. Okay, before we go, before our first guest comes on, I want to address this issue because this is something that I've been saying privately to my friends and to the Tea Party community in my area for years, and nobody really understands this. I understand it because I went through it. But this is just really... we are in a place people have no idea, but this just brings it home, and it's the truth. I don't have my tinfoil hat on. Last week, you heard me with Dr. Ray. You heard me play this clip. I want to play it for you one more time.
We have never invested as much in public education as we should have because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the households, then we start making better investments.
Okay, we talked to Dr. Ray about this, and we related this to education, parental rights, those kinds of things. But the idea that the left is so secure in their position now that they're not afraid to say these kinds of things, we've known for a long time that they have been thinking these things, this was their goal, but you could never say them out loud because people would think you were crazy. And now they're not worried about that anymore. They're not worried about people thinking they're crazy, which is frightening in itself. Okay, and then Glenn Beck came out yesterday, and he played this clip, and this is very telling. Okay, this clip is Masha Gessen. She's a gay activist. And I think she made this statement a year ago at a convention that she was at. And this is a statement on gay marriage and gay activism from her. Let me just play this clip real quick.
I agree. It's a no-brainer that we should have the right to marry. But I also think equally that it's a no-brainer that the institution of marriage should not exist. So that causes my brain some trouble, and part of it, why it causes me trouble, is because fighting for gay marriage generally involves lying about what we're going to do with marriage when we get there, you know, because we lie that the institution of marriage is not going to change, and that is a lie. The institution of marriage is going to change, and it should change, and again, I don't think it should exist.
Okay. So here's the deal, okay? Forever, I've been scratching my head and telling conservatives, you are chasing your tail, chasing this gay marriage issue. Why in the heck are gays worried about getting married? You know, when the state of marriage is in such a bad place as it is in this country, when the family courts have put marriage in such dilemma, it's the family courts that are destroying marriage, and the gays, and they may be just be helping the gay agenda. I don't know where the two are crossing, but here we go. Okay, so this is my point about those two clips from Melissa Harris Perry and Masha Gessen. Okay, what is it that you need to destroy a culture to be able to take it over when you have a free and independent culture that is strong on family? What is it that you need to do to be able to take it over?
Destroy the family.
You need to destroy the family. You know, the gays are not interested in getting married. They don't care about marriage. It's about destroying marriage. And what's happening in all of the other aspects of our culture, in education and every left-wing facet that you see, what are they doing? They're destroying marriage. Today, there was a news story about a court taking away custody of a family's high school child, I think it was, for a science experiment gone awry in a public school. A court intervenes when there was no malintent and taking away custody from this family for 2 weeks. I'm sorry, not taking away custody from the family. I'm mixing up my stories. There was another story, Glenn Beck reported it on, where they took custody away from a family that was seeking medical attention for their baby because the hospital didn't think it was the right medical attention, mm-hmm. and the courts intervened even though they had doctors backing up their decision making process. They took custody away from this family. They took the baby away for a couple of weeks until they could get everything ironed out. Okay, so here we go. I mean, folks, my neighbors aren't listening to this show. You know, the average people who are taking their kids to soccer practice and doing their things, you know, going to night school or whatever it is that they're doing, they're not worried about this. But I'm telling you, if you can't piece this stuff together, I mean, we got big problems. We would have never, ever, ever heard this kind of information on the radio or on the internet 10 years ago. It would have not been there. No one would have dared say it. You know, the kind of news stories that we're hearing. I mean, I've been very attuned to what goes on in the family courts because I had a horrendous experience in a family court, you know. And then since that time, I've had countless people, men and women, contact me over the years telling me that what has transpired in the family courts and how they're taking custody away from perfectly good parents for ridiculous reasons, sometimes and most oftentimes ignoring the state statutes to do so. Mm-hmm. Destroying the family. And this is not a man against woman thing. You know, I mean, I happen to believe that the pendulum has backswung against women because we're so in favor of having fathers in the lives of families now that they have to. And it makes perfect sense if you think about it. They have to demonize the women to be able to take custody away from the women. And what's that going to do to the family? Because really the mothers, you know, we've taken stay-at-home mothers out of the equation. We don't do that anymore in this culture. And the mothers basically have the primary, still primary responsibility of raising the children. You've got to destroy that. And what do you do in the process? You destroy the family foundation. You know, and it's not a man against woman thing because it's happened to men too, perfectly good fathers who have been abused in the family court system. But it's really, I think they hone in on the good parent and they absolutely go against that to be able to deconstruct your family. So between the schools and the gay marriage issue and the family courts, it's the family courts, folks. It's the family courts. Look to the family courts because that is the one branch of the legislature or the one branch of government that is unmonitored. Your legislature, your House of Representatives, at least the way in Missouri, and I know on a federal level, is what monitors your court systems, and they're not doing it. We haven't impeached a judge here since the Civil War in Missouri. You know, they are not doing their jobs. They are going unmonitored. They are operating in the cover of darkness, and children are suffering every day in family courts across this country. I mean, there are stories all over the place that are not getting any attention on the internet, I'm telling you, or in the media at all, mainstream or otherwise. Even the conservative media is not picking up on this. So, I mean,
it's almost like a taboo subject even among conservatives that you just don't talk about it. Maybe they just figure it's a no-win situation, but that's not an excuse because there are very real and way too many very real abuse stories out there. And I'm not talking about abuse of children. I'm talking about abuse of the family and complete overstep of
government.
From due process and from the government into the lives of individuals. And, you know, that case that Beck talked about this week where that five-month-old baby was taken away from the parents because a hospital disagreed with the parents wanting a second opinion, and they sought that second opinion, and it was ignored, and the police showed up and wrestled the dad to the ground, took the keys out of his pocket, came into the house, and took the baby away from the mother with no search warrant, no due process, nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. They just took the baby away.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's in America, people. Are you listening? It's mm-hmm. a very frightening situation. And these abuses have been going on for a long time, and they're escalating and they're becoming worse and more, just a lot more serious. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. I can't even find the words.
Brazen. It's brazen. You know, just like making the statements from Melissa Harris Perry and Melissa Gasha in public, the government is more brazen about coming in and invading your rights. So anyway,
they're doing it in plain sight. They're not hiding anything about their agenda anymore. It's no longer an agenda that's behind closed doors. It's out there for everybody to see. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, like you said, Lisa, too many people are too busy and they're not paying attention.
That's right. Until it happens, and the problem is with family issues, as in with family courts, you know, unless it's you or unless it's someone really close to you, you don't even know that it's going on. And it happens every single day. It's very sad. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Karen Piper, and we're going to get into the Common Core Twitter war issue. No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems there's certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
So dear, for peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
This is Lisa Payne Nager, and you are listening to Culture Vigilante on Missouri Grassroots Radio. We are happy to have with us tonight Mr. Shane Vanderhart from Truth in American Education, and we hope to have Karen Piper very soon. There must be some technical difficulties with her signing on with us from Parent-Led Reform. All across the country, folks, you know, the dirty little secret is out. You know, Common Core standards, it's kind of been snuck in. It's been working its way through the system for many, many years, long before the Obama administration. It's just gone on steroids, and full implementation has come full force in the last couple of years. But people have found out about it now, and they're starting to have a pushback. We had a great show last week with Brian Ray and William Estrada and the wonderful ladies from Missouri Education Watchdog, Gretchen and Ann. Got a lot of great information out there out about Common Core, but we only touched the surface, really. In 2 hours, there's so much information about what they're doing to education and the data mining that's going on. It's a very serious situation. It's a stroke of brilliance, actually, from the left. I mean, if you want to take over a country, what you need to do is indoctrinate your young, and they've been doing it for quite some time, and now they are about to put the last nails in the coffin on the education system. And people have finally woken up to it, and we're starting to push back a little bit. Mr. Vanderhart, I am so happy to have you with us from Truth in American Education. We have some we have some friends in common. William Estrada and Emmett McGroarty. Mr. Estrada's been on the program several times with us, and Emmett works very closely with our friends here in Missouri to get out this information about Common Core standards. And I understand that you, and actually we've been pushing your website for quite a while, Truth in American Education. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Hey, good to be on with you. And yes, Gretchen and Ann are doing a fabulous job in Missouri, and I'm just excited about the work that they're doing and the bill that you guys still have that I believe is active. So hoping that gets pushed through.
Well, it's active, but I think it's been mutilated a little bit, and we're not sure how it's going to end up. So,
don't you love how sausage is made?
Oh, I'm telling you, you know, well, there are some evil forces at work here in Missouri that have been trying to push education reform that's not really education reform. I mean, you probably know that as well. I don't know if you're experiencing that where you are. But
absolutely.
That have kind of thrown a wedge into the works here a little bit and changed things around. So we're going to be watching those bills carefully. There's a couple. We've got two bills here in Missouri, a Senate and a House concurrent bills. The Senate bill has been totally mutilated, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the way it started out. We'll see, though. You know, DESE here in Missouri is starting to squirm. You know, I don't know how that's working across the country. Are you in Colorado?
I'm actually in Iowa. So just
okay.
To the north, and unfortunately nothing is going on in Iowa as far as addressing the Common Core. I'm hoping to get something started up here next legislative session. We've already been through a couple funnel weeks, so they're not really taking new bills. They're just dealing with budget items. So it's kind of gone nowhere this year. I'm still in the process of educating legislators to be able to address it next session.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about the kind of work that you do in at Truth in American Education?
Yeah, we're a coalition of several organizations and citizens who are concerned about the centralization of education through the Common Core State Standards, the assessments that go along with the Common Core State Standards, as well as keeping an eye on data privacy issues, as well as standards that are coming down the pipeline, the Next Generation Science Standards, the Council of Chief State School Officers, they're putting together and just actually released the framework this last month for the college career and civic framework for social studies state standards. So that's going to be introduced here pretty soon.
Hmm.
People are going to be able to get to know. Not quite as many states are signed on to that as, say, are with the Common Core state standards, like what we've seen. You know, 46 states have adopted them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Minnesota adopted half of them anyway, but it's still troubling to see how the federal government is getting involved and how these standards are being implemented without a single state legislature voting on them. So we're kind of watchdogs over what's happening nationally, trying to report what different states are doing, kind of helping provide rebuttal to different arguments and talking points that we see from those who advocate for the Common Core. But we mainly want to be a cheerleader for those grassroots activists that are trying to make a difference in their states, are rooting this out.
Okay, excellent. So I know that you're working with some folks that we're working here with in Missouri. What is your view on how things are going on across the country?
There's been some bright spots. I'm very pleased with what we're seeing in Indiana. The House and the Senate just passed the bill. It's not a perfect bill. I'd love to see a repeal bill, but at least they passed the pause bill. We're waiting to see how Governor Pence will react to that, if he'll sign it. But basically, if he does sign it and becomes law, then it's basically ordering the State Board of Education and schools to stop the implementation of the Common Core until the State Board of Education has public hearings in each congressional district. I believe there's 8 or 9 of them in Indiana, as well as they'll have to have a fiscal impact study done on the Common Core. I'm hoping as a result of that, enough pressure is brought to bear by citizens, and it's going to really be up to we, the people, to show up at these public hearings and really put pressure on the state board, as well as Governor Pence and the state legislators, to say, you know, these are the problems we have, these are our concerns, we still don't like how it's been implemented, the legislature should have a voice in this, they're the ones that ultimately should decide, because this process has been executive authority off the chain, and it's expensive, but our standards are, you know, were superior before. You know, let's let the people be heard, and hopefully as we the people are heard in Indiana, you know, state legislators will take note and they'll say, you know what, we just need to just put a halt to this completely. So I'm hoping that'll happen. Obviously you never know. I'm also pleased what's going on in Michigan. The Michigan House just passed a bill in their appropriations or an amendment to their appropriations bill for education that basically says no state funding will go towards implementing the Common Core state standards. And I think that's a great model for state legislatures to follow, especially if they're later in the session and maybe all they can introduce is an amendment to an appropriations bill. Hey, take a look at what Michigan has done, and I think they have some great language. And that, in effect, pretty much puts a halt to it right there, provided the Michigan Senate will sign it and Governor Snyder, or excuse me, will pass it and Governor Snyder will sign it as well. So obviously it's not, you know, for certain what will happen. Still, you know, waiting to see what will happen in Missouri. It's kind of discouraged what happened in Alabama. They had the Senate President Pro Tem decided, you know, even though this bill passed out of committee, we're not going to hear any floor debate on Common Core bills this session. So because he's confused, my paraphrase, but that's basically what he said. I don't know who to believe.
You're being very kind.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, well, isn't this why we have floor debates? So let each member make up their own mind how they're going to vote. But anyway, that we saw a brief resurrection of that bill because it had been killed off in committee before the Republican National Committee spring meeting. And then lo and behold, the RNC passed a resolution condemning the Common Core. And then suddenly it's like it jolted one member who had said he was going to vote for the repeal bill and then wavered. He ended up jumping back on board and helping pass a bill with the exact identical language. But then the Senate President Pro Tem said, we're not going to do anything with that this year.
Well, you guys are your strategy is very similar to what we're trying to do here in Missouri, and the basic bill that went through first before it got butchered was kind of a defund non-implementation kind of a bill, and as a legislature that's how you have to address it. I understand that, but I spoke to a group a little over a week ago on Common Core, and people, they do understand that it's going to cost just way, way too much money, much more money than it should be costing. It's going to, education is expensive enough, I know, here in Missouri, and it probably is across the rest of the country as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that's enough to make you angry, but it's the data mining. Can you address the data mining issue at all? Because that is just maddening.
Yeah, with the data mining right now, I know with the grant or the monies that the feds put out for state longitudinal data systems, only 9 states have agreed to do that. And unfortunately, I have a list in front of me. I'm still not entirely sure how it's going to come about. I suspect it's going to be through the assessments with the initial questions kids have to answer. It'll probably be non-academic, but I'm not there. We see different reports coming out of the Department of Education, one on how they're going to measure grit and tenacity. For instance, is one I just looked at a few days ago, and I'm wondering, how in the world do you measure grit?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of questions are you going to have to answer to be able to determine whether a kid has grit and tenacity? That's worrisome. I think with right now, the biggest problem with the data privacy issue is that we just don't know exactly how it's going to come at us, what they're going to do, what states are going to go down, what they're going to do down the road. I just heard a radio interview with the Des Moines Public Schools superintendent, and he was asked this question. They were talking about the Common Core, and he said he wouldn't give up any information. But I'm like, okay, well, we'll see if Iowa decides to go down that road, what you'll be, what tune you'll be singing, because we may not have a choice. So I think citizens do need to be addressing this issue with legislators, but make it clear that we're not entirely sure how it's going to come. But this is the tune that the federal government's singing through the Department of Education. We already know they're rewriting kind of regs that are related to FERPA, the Family Educational Rights Privacy Act. So we don't know exactly what form this is going to take and how they're going to get this information from our kids, but it's likely that they're not going to ask us for permission. So we as parents need to be really mindful of letting our kids know if they're in public school, especially what kind of information are they asking of you, and make sure our schools know that this is not okay with us.
Right.
It's going to probably vary state by state. I would encourage your listeners, certainly see what Missouri's doing. If you live outside of Missouri, check and see if your state is signed on to having a statewide longitudinal data system, because that's the first step.
Right. Well, Karen has joined us. Let's bring her into the conversation. This is Karen Piper of parentledreform.org. I believe she is based in Colorado. She is also my sister contributor at politichicks.tv. Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lisa.
It's great to have you on. Thanks for being with us. I understand that you are, well, because I know that you're a contributor to Politichicks, you're not a sit on the sidelines kind of gal, and being very involved in this Common Core issue yourself, you've got a project going in it tomorrow. I know there was a Twitter war on Common Core a couple of weeks ago that was very successful, a great way to educate folks, you know, the general populace about this kind of issue is through social media. Tell me what's going on. Well, first of all, you know, let's back up a little bit. Tell me a little bit about Parent-Led Reform.
Parent-Led Reform is an organization that originated out of Douglas County, Colorado. I would call it the epicenter of school reform, true school reform, where parents are leading change. And our group started with those five parents that sit around at every school board meeting, head up to legislature, et cetera, et cetera. And one day we decided to find a name in a Facebook page, and now we are a full-fledged 501c3. We have done things like call for open negotiations between Douglas County School District and its teachers union, and we've been very active in our legislature here in Colorado. And now we are broadening our visions, and we're helping other organizations in different states throughout the country to activate that parent button as well, to get parents back into leading education reform.
Excellent, excellent. And you've teamed up with all of these fine organizations here, Truth in American Education, for sure, Homeschool Legal Defense, Heartland Institute, and Independence Institute, and American Principles Project to help spread the word on Common Core. What have you got going?
You know, it's so exciting. 2 weeks ago, we did a little Twitter rally. We threw some feelers out to see how that was going to work out. Most folks that participated had never done this type of thing before, and it was very successful. I think one of the things that happens when you get parents and educators to unite on a topic like this is that people get very passionate, and they tell all their friends, and they sure did. We had a reach of about 2.5 million Twitter users and tweeted at 4,500 tweets an hour with information to stop Common Core. So tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can join us again via Twitter if you follow at Parent-Led Reform or at Truth in AmEd, which stands, of course, for Truth in American Education. Follow us. Click on the link and join the conversation. We will talk about what Common Core standards are and some of the important questions that folks have about the standards themselves and whether or not this is a good idea.
Excellent, excellent. Especially the younger generation who is so tied into social media, who may not be as politically motivated or tuned into politics or the cultural aspects of politics. This is a great way to reach that demographic. Did you have any? You obviously reached more than two million Twitter followers, almost 2.5 million Twitter users on the last Twitter war. Did you have any feedback on how well you were received, or how many people were just getting this information for the first time?
You know, Shane can probably share that some of that information, too, as he's so involved with Truth in American Education. I heard from little groups in different areas, and they were saying things like I had parents reach out and say, where can I find a Stop Common Core group in my state? And we were able to point them to a Truth in American Education website and find people to connect with. We also we had people reach out and say, how can we get involved with Parent-Led Reform? How can we get more information? So we heard from individuals that way, and we also heard from other groups that connected through our Facebook pages and got involved in social media. So it's just been phenomenal response.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
And I would certainly second that. I mean, we've been receiving a lot of phone calls and emails asking how can we get involved, what's going on in our state, and you know, who can you point us to in our state that's doing, you know, the work at rooting this out. So it's been a great response, and we were thrilled to be a part last time and excited about tomorrow night.
Okay, and how to follow you guys? It's hashtag Stop Common Core on Twitter.
That's it.
Yep.
And just follow us along, and we will tweet out the panels. We have phenomenal panelists. Shane is one of them. He is so well-rounded and informed with all the information that parents and educators and taxpaying citizens want to know and need the information they need to have. And we have a wonderful panel of researchers and individuals that are going to be able to share some expert information with us.
Excellent. Thank you so very much for coming on with us and helping us get that information out. I hope you guys will come back after this is all taken place and give us some feedback and any updates that you have coming forward.
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you
both.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with Usama Dakdok, and we're going to talk about the bombing in Boston.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for Grassfire Alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice, combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri.
A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
We have 13 patriot U.S. senators standing up for the Second Amendment that are willing to filibuster the Harry Reid gun control bill. They are Rand Paul, Kentucky; Mike Lee, Utah; Ted Cruz, Texas; Marco Rubio, Florida; Jerry Morin, Kansas; Jim Inhofe, Oklahoma; Mike Ensley, Wyoming; Richard Burr, North Carolina; Ron Johnson, Wisconsin; Jim Reich, Idaho; Mike Crapo, Idaho; Dan Coates, Indiana; Pat Roberts, Kansas. Then we have John McCain, the old worn-out senator who appears on national television questioning these Patriot 13 senators using a time-honored procedure in their efforts to protect our Second Amendment rights given to us by our founding fathers and the Constitution. John McCain believes there shouldn't be such discourse in the U.S. Senate. Could you patriots in Arizona please do something about this big windbag? He still thinks the American people care what he says. If your senator isn't part of the Patriot Baker's Dozen fighting for our gun rights, ask them why. I did, and I'm still waiting for a reply from Mr. Blunt. This has been the Old Patriot. Good day.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
We're back. This is Culture Vigilante on Missouri Grassroots Radio. You're listening to Lisa Payne Nager, and I am joined tonight by Cindy McGee of Show Me Patriots, and we are here with Usama Dakdok. Usama is a great friend of the show, been on many times. Usama is, well, he's not the only person that I know that's talking about this now, but he was probably one of the first people that was talking in such straightforward language about what Islam really is, you know. And in 2001, when we were bombed, when the Twin Towers were bombed with big planes, and the world changed as we knew it, America came together. You know, America was a different place. We were angry. We were the old America that we knew. We had that grit. We had that fire in the belly. We had that righteous indignation that we were ready to stand up against any attacks on American soil, any attacks on our freedom and our way of life here. And a couple of weeks ago, we experienced another attack on American soil. And I don't see any of the kind of righteous indignation that I saw in 2001, where we knew that we were being attacked from foreign enemies. And we know that foreign enemies are here in our country attacking us now. And I see none of that. I see nothing absolutely coming from the government about righting what the wrongs that have been committed here in our country in the way that I saw in 2001. And Bush, is not, he's not golden here. I mean, he made some mistakes, but he absolutely, I felt a lot safer in 2001 with the president in the White House who was willing to fight back. I don't see that coming from this administration. And it took many, many years, and I just recently met Usama, it took many, many years for me to hear anything coming from anybody who would speak out against what is termed as radical Islam in our culture. But Usama lived it. He knows that he was born there, he grew up there, he experienced it firsthand, and he has been touring the country. He's been a contributor on Fox and many national media outlets, trying to get the word out about what's really going on with Islam and why and how it's changing our culture. Thanks for coming back and being with us tonight again, Usama. It's really great to talk to you.
It is my
So, Usama, I'm going to light you up and I'm going to kind of turn you loose here. We haven't really had a conversation in quite a while. The Benghazi issue has, it's come and it's gone and it's been kind of swept under the rug and covered up. But we know what the situation is. And now we've had this horrendous attack in Boston where people have lost their lives. And they're, again, we're watching right before our eyes, we're watching a huge cover-up. Just give us your take on it. Speak the truth.
Well, first of all, so you stop me and then we'll come back again. But the problem with the first September 11 is the last 11 years we have not named our enemy yet. Simply, the greatest mistake for W. Bush, he thought, and if you know your enemy, you cannot use your enemy.
You're breaking up a little bit, Usama.
Okay. Named our enemy. We called different names than what it is. We called it the four radical Islam. I'm sorry, this word radical Islam does not exist in Islam, as the word moderate Islam does not exist in Islam. It's Muslims, those who practice the words of Allah in the Quran. As we read 79 verses in the Quran, Allah mentioned, engage in war with the infidels, engage in war with the Christians and the Jews, engage in war with those who do not believe in Allah, nor in the last days, among the people of the book, Quran chapter 9, verse 29. Muhammad in Sahih Muslim clearly taught, I have been commanded to engage in war with people until people testify to the fact there is no God but Allah and to believe in Muhammad, that is, to be his messenger. So since Bush did not name the enemy, we did not want war against the enemy. I know, as you said earlier, that September 11 brought awareness in America and brought unity in America. And we say in America, we united we stand under God. I never saw one flag say united we stand. I never see one flag say in God we trust in after the Boston bombing, because now we got used to this to be something, that must do with Islam. If we have named the first war in September 11th, right,
mm-hmm.
we will not be this far in today. Now you got a Muslim man in the White House who will do anything and everything to protect the Muslim. This is a man who never make a mistake. I mean, Barack Hussein Obama never said anything wrong, never did anything wrong, never signed any wrong bill, never do anything. I mean, he is the perfect almighty, the Messiah, the Savior for America, for the world. Therefore, you will not see anything different than that. I mean, the Benghazi attack, four American soldiers were killed. God is my witness. If we have enough men in this country with backbones in the conservative party, which we don't have any,
no.
Obama should be locked up in prison, him and Hillary, and all these people work on him because they killed these four men. And I know I sound very extreme, I sound very radical, I sound whatever, but Obama killed four American people, and Hillary killed four American people. But there is nobody to be blamed. It is under the rug. It will never come out of the rug. Every man and woman who have the information is right now by Obama and his people. They will kill them. They will destroy their family's lives to the point that even those who come up to speak cannot say, oh, what they had on in their books, and they just say soft words, and they're living in fear. Why in the world Muslims are protected by Barack Hussein Obama and his people? Why this 19-year-old young man in Boston are given his right to be silent? I will boil water in his face, not just dump water in his face. I will literally boil water. How about I will treat him with the treatment of Allah's word in Quran chapter 5 and verse 3? I will cut his hand and his feet from opposite side. I will poke his eyes out with a hot needle. I will do exactly what Allah commanded Muhammad to do to our soldiers and overseas. We're so cowards. We're so afraid to say anything to offend any Muslim for, think, 3 years. It's been 3 years since Nizam Malik Hassan shout Allahu Akbar, killing 13 Americans, for heaven's sake. Killing 13 Americans, not four in Boston. Four from 13 is not even half. It's a quarter. He killed 13 and shout Allahu Akbar. He did his dirty work, and he won the 30 more. And until today, Barack Hussein Obama and his people will not admit it was a terrorist attack. The people who were killed and the people who were wounded, till today, they have not got their purple heart. But Nizam Malik Hassan received his salary monthly. Like this 9-year-old, we have a team now of lawyers. I pay for the lawyer to set him free, and he will not be killed, and I bet my life on it. Lisa, just say save this radio broadcast and say on that day you saw my backpack, said this man will live, and he will live with our tax money for the rest of his life. I will not be surprised that we'll send him to his mama over back to his home country in 10 years from now, depending who's the next liberal will be in the White House. As Obama would send Sheikh Abdul Rahman to Egypt, the blind sheikh, the man who tried to destroy the two towers in 1993. Somebody will send this young man to his mama in the next 10, 20 years. I mean, literally, we're being a nation of coward and a nation of ignorant and a nation of naive and name it. But we do not have enough men to stand up for Barack Hussein Obama, stand up against Muslim and Islam because, and you know what, look what they're doing, Lisa. This 19-year-old boy, he was influenced by his older brother, who's a bad Muslim boy. Okay. And who influenced the older brother? Oh, his older brother was influenced there by some videos on YouTube from a sheikh imam from Australia by the name Faiz Muhammad. And then we stopped there. I said, wait a minute. What was Sheikh Faiz Muhammad of Australia was teaching? Who influenced Sheikh Faiz Muhammad? And nobody would like to get that. You know why? Because we are ignorant.
Well, let's talk about a little bit about that culture issue because, you know, we've done a 180. In 2001, people were ready to pick up their torches and their pitchforks, and they were ready to go fight the enemy. You know, we had a unity in this country. What's happened? What's happened, Usama, in the last, you know, 12 years?
We have not read the Quran the last 11 years, and we will not dare to open the Quran, and we will not learn the truth about Islam. I wish we look at every attack we have. What is the real source for the problem? Where does the cancer come from? It comes from the book of the Quran. Sheikh Faiz Muhammad of Australia was reading the words of Allah. He was reading Muhammad's words to his other.
Oh, you're breaking up, Usama.
I'll repeat again. These two young men become radical because they're listening to the teaching of Allah in the Quran, which Sheikh Faiz Muhammad was reading. Or intelligent.
We're losing you a little bit. Usama, here's the big question here. Because, I mean, it's obvious to anybody who's paying attention that we have an issue. We've got Islamic infiltration in our government. Obviously, we have a lot of people don't want to admit that Barack Hussein Obama is a Muslim. I believe that he is a Muslim. We have many Muslims in key positions in our government, in our upper levels of government. And I think it kind of goes to way back with Bush. They did not want to identify why is there such a huge and it's been not just with Obama, but even way back with Bush and maybe even before then, there's been such a huge resistance to point a finger at the Islamic at Islam as being the problem. They don't want to name the enemy. Barack Hussein Obama will not even today say the words out of his mouth.
Yeah, absolutely. Not just him. Eric Holder will not say it. Hillary did not say it. Mrs. Rice, she didn't say it. And nobody will dare to open their lips and say we have a problem with Islam. Because even when George Bush was in the White House, he did not say it. See, political correctness, it is the destruction of America. It is literally the destruction of America. And at least under Bush, we used to engage in war with the Brotherhood, with Al-Qaeda. Now we are supporting them. I mean, I love my home country, Egypt. I think Egyptians need some aid. They need some help. But why in the world we send aid to Egypt of F-16, F-18 tanks and warships, which cost us billions of dollars? We need to help Egypt by food, by medicine, by building a school or some education. We are not aiding Egypt. We are aiding the Brotherhood. Why is that? Because that is the fruit of Obama. Remember, Lisa, I talked to you a few years ago, or I've been doing this since Obama really came to power, and I said, I believe Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, is 100% Muslim. And people say, no, you're crazy. I said, you know what? Watch his fruit. I will not call a tree an apple tree if it had banana on it, or it has mango on it, but you judge the tree from its fruit. And I say, watch what Obama is going to do. And people think that I have some knowledge about some future things Obama is going to do. I said, no, just generally, watch what he's going to do. In the last 4 years, Obama did nothing but to support Muslim jihadists worldwide, including having the Brotherhood now working in the White House. We have jihadists working today in the FBI offices and the CIA offices in the Pentagon. For heaven's sake, John Brennan, the head of CIA, is a Muslim man. What more do you need than that? So from the fruit, I judge Barack Hussein Obama. He loved the Muslim. He traveled all over the Muslim world, apologizing for the Muslim, bowing down to the Muslim, Saudi, Abdulaziz, and others, giving billions of dollars to Muslim countries, does not do anything to stop Iran from having nuclear. He will not do anything to Syria because Syria is a friend of Iran. And literally, 70-some thousand people have been killed in Syria so far the last 2 years. And Obama did nothing about it, and he will not do anything about it. Now he's been pressured by everybody to stop the slaughter of President Bashir to the people of Syria. But he was torn. He's looking somewhere else. He's looking somewhere else. He drew a red line, and then he changed the position of when he starts stopping al-Assad, Bashir al-Assad, of killing his own people in Syria, and he would not do anything to stop it because he knows if he put his foot in Syria, Iran will be upset. So it's like, literally, watch what Obama is going to do the next 3 years. That will be enough evidence that the man is 100% a Muslim.
Right.
A Muslim. He's here to destroy our country. He's here to destroy our freedom. He's here to destroy our democracy. He's here literally to destroy us militarily, economically, and morally, and everything else.
Okay, so let's go beyond. Let's extend past Obama. Let's talk about the legislature. Let's talk about the rest of our other branches of government. And okay, so here's the deal with that. Okay, I agree with you, Osama. His actions are treasonous. Hillary's actions are treasonous. And nobody's talking treason, and they need to be talking treason because it's just an abomination on what's going on here.
Lisa, we do not have. I would have you to work in this among these people who are legislators. We have Michelle Parkman who spoke a little bit about the radical Muslim or the Brotherhood Muslim working in the White House, and literally after she exposed what Obama is doing in the White House, all the conservatives, all the Republicans run away from her. Nobody wants like to stand up next to her in a picture, to take in a picture with a camera, because they're afraid if they stand up next to her, they look like radical like her. She's just opened her mouth to tell the truth about what is going on in the White House, what's going on in our country. And everybody will stand up like you and I to tell the truth. They look at us like radicals. So the best thing for this government to continue is let's all pretend that there's no problem. Let's all pretend that we are not peaceful with Muslims, and we have an Obama that's not making any mistake, and Obama is a born-again Christian, and let's just destroy the future of the country by being silent, by putting our head in the sand. We cannot do this. We can't.
What can we do, Osama? What can we do as a country? What can we as citizens do to help this information get out there?
Very good question. Very good question. It's very simple, Lisa. First of all, we need to read the Quran. We need to learn the truth about Islam. The Bible has a very simple verse, Hosea chapter 4, 6, which I have read, I believe, on your podcast before. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because we reject knowledge, God is rejecting us. And some of your people right now who listen say, wait a minute, I never reject knowledge. Yes, indeed. When you have the opportunity to learn the truth about Islam by reading my Quran, my truth of the Quran, which I put my life on the front line to translate it, the Quran, to the American people. If you don't read this book, how do you know? You're rejecting us by not reading about Islam. If all Americans start opening the Quran and learn about Islam and speak out loud to our legislators, remember now, your senator, your congressman, your governor, and your High Supreme Justice Court have already the same copy. I send them my copy, the true English translation of the Quran. So if you American people read the Quran, say, hey, have you read the book which has been sent to you by this minister, Usama Dak of the Straight Way of Peace Ministry? If your senator or your governor or your congress said, oh, well, I never had this copy, email me, call me. You go to usama@thestraightway.org or dial my number. It's available on our website. And you say, hey, this guy is a senator. This lady, she's a governor. Or this person is a congressman. He does not have your Quran. We send it to them, and then we force them to read the Quran, and we force them to get rid of all the political correctness. As long as we're ignorant of Islam, as long as we're ignorant of the Quran, our legislator will not read it. Remember, Lisa, 205 years ago, Thomas Jefferson read the Quran. When he read the Quran, he went in war with Islam. That's where we come up with the song, to the shore of Tripoli. This is a history, but it's not taught in our public school. The first war we have been involved as the United States of America, it was not World War I or World War II or Vietnam War. None of this war. The first war, it was Thomas Jefferson war against Muslims. And we demolished them in North African country from Morocco to Egypt to the days of Muhammad. We put them behind 1,000 years. We need another president in America. We need more senator and more congressman and more governor who will stand up and speak the truth that Boston attack is not but a Muslim attack. It is a practice, the teaching of Allah's word in the Quran against our people. And guess what, Lisa? There are a few thousand men in America right now who are waiting for the right time to do the Boston. It will be so bad that you will not have time to talk about it anymore. That you will be killing America right and left. They will tie the American. They will kill the American, as Allah stated in Quran chapter 33, verses 26 and 27. Allah terrorize the Jews and the Christians. And Allah used the Muslim hand to kill the Jews and the Christians. That is Islam. If we do not wake up, Muslims will continue to grow in this country and build more mosques all over this country. And they will take over this country. Why? Because we do not know the truth about Islam. You know that the last 4 years, Obama sent people to America, to the Muslim world, to bring youth to come to America. I mean, he is literally spending millions of hours,
he's recruiting
millions of dollars to bring them to America, like these two guys in Boston. But if you do not tie these two guys to Boston to Islam, Lisa, you're going to have a few millions like them in America.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Okay, you can find out more about Usama and his ministry and the truth about what's really going on, and you can get a copy of his translated Quran at thestraightwayministries.org. And you can email him at usama@thestraightway.org.
Yes, please. I want to share with you, I just want to tell you I have some good news. My new book, Exposing the Truth, that is Exposing the Truth about the Quran, 2 volumes, volume 1 and volume 2, is out of print, and there are 800.
Oh, say that again, Usama. One more time, you were breaking up. Tell me again.
I'm sorry. The new book, Exposing the Truth about the Quran, is now available. It's out of print for the last 3 weeks or so, 4 weeks, I believe now. Exposing the Truth About the Quran is 830 pages, volume 1 and volume 2, the revelation of error. That is when we literally open the Quran for you to understand Islam by knowing the Quran. You know, lots of people who bought my Quran said, could not understand it. It is so hard to understand.
And I know that.
And in my new book, Exposing the Truth About the Quran, you come to learn all what you need to learn about the Quran. So we take the Quran literally and critique every story in it, start from creation all the way until the book of Muhammad, chapter 41, where we expose Muhammad, the claimed prophet of Islam, to the West. So now not only you will know the truth about Islam, but you also know the truth about Muhammad, the claimed prophet of Islam.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, the straightwayministry.org, that's where you can get that book, Osama?
The straightway.org. The word ministry is not part of it. The straightway.org. And okay. It's also available in Amazon as well.
Very good. Thank you, Osama. We hope that you will come back soon and give us an update on everything that you know. I hope you come back to the St. Louis area soon.
You just have to call me. If you invite me, I'll be there, especially if you fix me a good dinner.
I would fix you a great dinner. You and your lovely wife, and you bring your son.
Absolutely. Would love to do that. Thank you so much, Lisa. God bless you. And all the people here in North Carolina, say hello to you and to all your wonderful audience.
Thank you, and to you too. Thanks, Osama. We'll talk to you soon.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk to Bob Parker about all of the Department of Revenue and all their dirty little deeds.
A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Here's some information compiled from College Politico. There's a lot of heated debate about guns and gun control right now, and that's why it's important to know the facts about guns. The U.S. has a lot of guns, yes, an estimated 270 million of civilian-owned firearms in America. That works out to about 89 guns for every person in America. In fact, the U.S. is number one in the world when it comes to gun ownership. However, the U.S. doesn't even crack the top 25 in gun murder rate. In life and death situations, civilians use guns to defend themselves more than 77% of the time. Civilian justifiable homicides by gun is 73.3%. For police, is over 99% of the time. Americans use guns in self-defense more than you might think. 2.5 million estimated number of incidents of defensive gun use per year in the United States. A lot of newspaper ink has been used telling the dangers of rifles like the AR-15. But what do the statistics say? Well, all rifles, that includes the AR-15, were involved in fewer homicides in 2011 than blunt objects. Fists and knives. 1.5 as many homicides were committed with blunt objects and rifles. 2.2 times as many homicides were committed with fists than rifles. 5.2 as many homicides were committed with knives than rifles. Beyond that, rifles are used on a tiny percentage of all murders in the U.S. 2.6% of murders in 2011 involved rifles, including the AR-15s. Take these facts and use them next time you're explaining guns and gun control comes up. This has been the Old Patriot. Good day.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order, because the global order is changing again. And the institutions and rules that worked so well in the post-World War II era for decades, they need to be strengthened.
Our well-being at home and our leadership abroad are inextricably linked. Our friends and allies must again be able to trust us. From Israel to Colombia, from Poland to the Philippines, our allies and friends have to know that we will be reliable and consistent and determined. And our foes can have no reason to doubt our resolve, because peace really does come through strength.
Just when you thought it was all over, when you thought it was time to hang it all up, Lisa is back.
This is Culture Vigilante on Missouri Grassroots Radio, and I am here with Cindy McGee tonight, and we're gonna jump all over Bob Parker. We're not going to jump all over him, but we're going to pepper him with questions. He's been following this Department of Revenue issue very closely. He's mad as a wet cat. He's after this issue. He's got some ideas on how to go after it and how to bring the freedoms and liberties back to Missourians, how they can fight back against the atrocities that are going on. We've had some news today about some very interesting documentation that's been found, you know, that kind of implicates the governor in this issue. We're gonna talk to Bob about this and find out what he's got, what his thoughts are on this process. Thanks for being with us tonight, Bob.
Hey, great to be with you, Lisa, and to be able to, you know, visit about what's going on in the state of Missouri. That's very concerning to those of us who love our freedom.
Now, what part of the state are you from, Bob?
I'm down here in South Central Missouri. I live in Texas County. I've got a ranch down here and sell real estate with a local real estate company, and I have a lovely wife and a couple of grown daughters and 6 grandkids, and we're trying to do what we can to preserve their future.
Because it's slipping away fast. So you got involved. I know that this whole Department of Revenue thing kind of stemmed from that area of the country. We had one irate citizen who just decided to report the atrocities that were going on in his Missouri DMV office, and things
right,
kind of mushroomed.
County.
Right, and things have kind of mushroomed since then, and the entire place, the entire state has lit up over this issue, because basically what's happened is there's been a huge breach of our personal information and our personal rights via the governor's office to the Homeland Security office. Why don't you give us a little history?
Well, I'll give you a little history. I guess it started several years ago when I was down in Dallas at a Freedom 21 annual meeting, a bunch of folks down there speaking about various issues, and Mark Lerner was down there talking about the Real ID Act and how we needed to stop it. And then I saw him a couple of years later in Oklahoma City. We went to another one down in Oklahoma City, and he was there too, talking about that issue. And I've been kind of following what Mark's been talking about on the implementation timeline, and then I saw just a few months ago where he was saying that all states were going to need to be in compliance by January 15th of 2013, and I knew we had passed legislation here in Missouri in 2009 to prohibit Missouri from taking part in the Real ID Act, and I hadn't heard anything in the media, or, you know, nobody was talking about this, and I just thought, well, gosh, you know, I'm not hearing a word about it. So maybe it's not happening, and of course, you know, nobody had any information, and well, behold, right after the first of the year, I heard a friend of mine called me, and he said, hey, they're putting new machines in the driver's license offices, and I thought, well, there you go, this is tied to the Real ID implementation timeline. So me and my friend, we started researching this and tearing this apart, and he ended up getting on the Department of Homeland Security website and tracking down a bunch of grant money that Missouri had gotten, and then he got this a report that I've got in my hand here, and this was the report that we later gave to the Senate committee, and really blew the lid off this, and it really started with our investigation and the documents we were able to feed to him. But anyway, this smoking gun document from Homeland Security says that Missouri was in compliance. They've taken millions of dollars in grants to implement the Real ID Act here in Missouri. So, you know, we did a radio show and broke the story. We did a Mike Evans radio show and actually broke the story and talked about the concealed carry aspect of it and how that information was being fed to Morpho Trust. And,
amazing.
You know, we're facial biometrics and all of that were involved, and nobody had ever heard that before, and people thought, well, you know, you guys, where did you get this information? And there were emails flying around the state, and people started talking to their elected officials, and nobody knew anything about it, and see, people started asking questions, and then it kind of got on the radar, and, you know, later, not a whole lot, well, I guess it was a month or two, we kind of waited in limbo waiting for something to happen. And we talked to, you know, we talked to our representative and told him what was going on. And he asked questions, and he said, man, they deny all that. He said, I really don't think anything's going on. And then they did the lawsuit down there in Stoddard County, and that kind of broke open the case. And then the Senate began to get involved. And when really what broke it loose was when they started doing the Senate hearings on it and getting DOR people in there and getting them under oath, asking them questions in their Senate hearings, and that's really what kind of broke it loose. But a lot of people don't realize that a lot of that started with me.
Yep, excellent. So from then, okay. So now, one thing has led to another, and we've had some legislators look into it, and you obviously know that the other smoking gun document that they found today from Janet Napolitano to the governor, thanking him for his participation.
Yeah. Well, they, you know, and just like my state rep. I mean, I got pretty crossways with my state rep because I knew they were doing it. We had the documents that they were doing it. And he went to Department of Revenue and asked questions, and they just, no, we're not doing that. We're not complying with the Real ID Act. They denied everything. And,
mm-hmm.
So it was really hard to track down. But, you know, when they finally got those documents and nailed them in that Senate hearing, and so the governor's denied that he knew anything about it. And then today, this letter was found. You know, they subpoenaed documents that the Senate hearing did. Kurt Schaefer and others mm-hmm. in the Senate subpoenaed a bunch of documents from DOR, and they gave them, I don't know, 50, 70 boxes of documents, you know, I think 80-some thousand pages of stuff to dig through, and they've been digging through those. And today it came out that they had found a letter, and this is after Jeremiah J. Nixon, our governor, had denied any involvement, any knowledge of it, and he's done nothing to stop it from continuing, by the way. But anyway, this letter came out, and I'm looking at it, and it says...
March 17th of 2010,
and it's to Jeremiah W. Nixon, who's, by the way, to give you the timeline on this is 7 months after Missouri in 2009 passed a law specifically prohibiting Missouri from implementing the Real ID Act, from taking anyone's biometrics, from uploading documents into national databases, and several other things. And Governor Nixon signed that legislation. Here, 7 months later, he's implementing Real ID, and he gets a letter from Janet Napolitano, and she says, you know, dear Governor Nixon, thank you for your efforts to comply with the Real ID Act of 2005 and its implementing regulations. And then she just, you know, goes on and really appreciates. You know, so here, you know, 7 months after he signs the law saying we're not going to do it, here he's being thanked by Napolitano for implementing the Real ID Act in Missouri in clear violation of the law. And he's lied about it repeatedly. And you know, Department of Revenue denied that they had taken any money to implement the Real ID Act mm-hmm. in that Senate hearing. And then when they pulled out this document that my buddy Mike had found that we, were able to get up there to those guys in the Senate. And basically, and that's when there's a tape of the conversation where Kurt Schaefer is, Senator Schaefer is interviewing Brian Long. And he basically sets him up and has him deny this, you know, two or three times under oath that he's taken any money. And then he, you know, basically nails him. Here's the documentation that we've taken, you know, millions in grant money to implement this program. And, you know, shortly after that, Brian Long, the director of Department of Revenue, resigned. So, you know, this is a huge scandal. But the thing that is so scandalous as this continues every day in this state. There's 180-some licensed bureaus that are continue to take people's facial biometrics, which is directly in violation of the law,
right.
Upload them to MorphoTrust, which is a third-party holder of the information. MorphoTrust does 95% of the licenses in the United States, from what I understand, and they're a global company that's taking biometric IDs all over the world, has done India and China recently. They're working with 100 other nations doing their global ID cards. This will ultimately all be in a global database, so you could be ID'd, you know, by cameras doing your facial biometrics. They want your facial biometrics.
This
is a huge
beyond Orwellian. It's beyond Orwellian.
It really is. It's, you know, I mean, I've been rereading Revelation, quite a bit, and looking at, you know, looking at the mark and seeing how this applies to Scripture. And the more I study it, the less comfortable I am with what's happening, because for the first time, we have a global ID system, and it's directly linked back to the United Nations. And we've got the documentation to prove that link. And I've got so many papers in front of me. I'd have to look for a second to find out which one documents that. I've got it here in front of me somewhere.
Okay. Atrocity. Well noted. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous that this is going on right under our noses, and nobody's really trying to stop it. I, Cindy and I were talking at the top of the show. I mean, I listened to a radio interview today. The Lieutenant Governor, Peter Kinder, was being interviewed today, and the interviewer asked him, is this impeachable? And he backed off. He walked it back. He didn't want to say the word impeachment. It's kind of like Obama not wanting to say, radical Islam. He walked it back. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, you know, he's number, you know, the next guy in line if the governor steps down.
Well, yeah.
So I can understand some hesitance on his part to jump into that. I mean, you and me wish he would just jump in and say, yeah, impeach him. It's horrible, and it is horrible.
But he should be impeached.
Yeah, I think he should. I think he should step down, because it really it violates not only the law, but it's really creating a system that I can't participate in.
And he's committed perjury.
Yeah, and he's lied about it repeatedly. We no longer can trust anything the governor says. And he's working with the federal government to override Missouri law. And it's absolutely outrageous, and I think it is an impeachable. I think he should be impeached. I think he should step down and get out of office. I certainly do.
Cindy, what do you think about that?
I totally agree. It blows my mind that anyone would think that he shouldn't be impeached, that this is not an impeachable offense. He's the governor of the state of Missouri. He took an oath to defend and protect the Missouri Constitution and state statutes, as well as the U.S. Constitution. He has completely violated his oath of office. He has betrayed the citizens of Missouri, and we are the ones that are being hurt by this. It's our information that is being illegally shared with federal agencies against Missouri state statute. If that's not an impeachable offense, I don't know what is.
We need to go to Jefferson.
I don't think any politician should be able to take a back seat on this. You're either going to uphold the law in Missouri as a state legislator, as lieutenant governor, or whoever, or perhaps you shouldn't be holding office.
I'll even take it a little farther than that. I mean, we have 100-plus counties, 114 counties in Missouri. We have a sheriff in every county. Now, if there was an illegal gambling operation going on that everybody knew about taking place in your county, they'd go down and confiscate those machines, wouldn't they?
Yep. You're right. And, Bob, that's a really good idea. And something
and
else,
we have
too.
We have all these sheriffs in this state that are sitting on their hands. And we have illegal activity violating several laws in the state of Missouri, going in several locations in most counties. Our county has a couple of them, I think, three of them, that's going on. I mean, why aren't, I called my sheriff. I called the sheriff. I said, I want to file a complaint. They're violating, the first day they did this in my county, we were the last county to get it, by the way, and guess why they wanted to have Texas County be the last one? Because they knew I lived here. And I would throw a fit. So they wanted to make sure they got them everywhere else where it got to here in case I dreamed up some way to stop it. But I called my sheriff, and he said, well, no, it's up to the chief of police. It's a police matter. It's inside the city limits. It's not under my jurisdiction, which is crap. And so anyway, I called my police chief. He said, I'm not going to be your guinea pig. I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. So, I mean, here, those people swore to uphold the laws of Missouri,
right,
too. Now, if I had a neighbor over here that was snorting a couple of lines of coke and they knew about it, they'd be busting him, and that's okay. And that doesn't really, I mean, of course, that affects other people, but not like what they're doing down there. This affects everybody. This absolutely terrorizes me, because I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to give them my biometrics, and I'm not going to be part of a global ID system that I'm going to have to be a part of to buy or sell, open bank account, do all this stuff. I'm not going to do it. So my life is going to be completely shut down if this thing isn't stopped. And so, I mean, there's no issue going on right now that is more concerning to me than real ID and this driver's license situation in the state of Missouri, because I won't do it. That's why so many people got so upset and got this legislation passed in 2009 that they didn't want to be a part of it when they found out all the details of the Real ID Act. So here they've snuck it in under the, you know, underneath the radar, mm-hmm. and it's here, and we don't have – I can't figure out how to get this thing stopped. It should have been stopped that day.
Right.
And another thing, too, don't you think, Bob and Lisa, that Koster, our attorney general, needs to be called to account for the fact that he is not acting on behalf of the Missouri citizens whose information has been illegally shared with government agencies outside of Missouri?
Well, absolutely.
And now
absolutely.
The citizens of Missouri are going to be forced to hire an attorney to protect us,
mm-hmm.
and to uphold, to see that the state statute of Missouri is upheld. But, you know, another thing that no one's talking about is the damage is already done. That information has already been shared. The federal government already has it. You think they're just going to destroy it and give it back?
And it will never be removed from that system. And this is what has me just ballistic over this issue. This is going on every day. They're still doing this. And all the people that are going in trying to be good citizens and get their driver's license, all that information that they're giving to their driver's license office is going into permanent global databases. Eventually, that's where it will all be, with Morpho Trust.
Well, let me ask you this question, Bob. Okay, prior to this equipment being installed just a couple of months ago, okay,
yeah.
So prior to that equipment being installed, were the people that got driver's license and conceal and carry, are they still part of that global database?
No. That was, as far as I know, they weren't. And that's why they needed the new equipment. Part of the new equipment is, well, there's a couple things they had to do. They had to get rid of the old equipment, because the old equipment, every office was basically a little factory that would produce a driver's license. They had a little machine there that would take the components of it and make your driver's license right there. Well, they had to get rid of that. And the new machines, and part of it is the new camera with the high-resolution camera to do all your facial biometrics.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to have that. So they had to have a better camera, and they had to get rid of everybody's little factory where they could make cards so they could send them all to Atlanta, Georgia, or wherever else they want to do it, and upload it to Morpho Trust so they could make their little card. And I've got stuff that says there's a chip in it. Now, I had a little debate with somebody today that they said it wasn't in there, but according to DHS, the enhanced chip has enhanced driver's license has a chip in it that they can read from a distance. So I believe that's part of this card. And they needed to do that down in Atlanta so people don't know that that's going on. So, you know, it's unbelievable what's going on. I mean, it's total control and tracking, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's unbelievable, and it's here. And it's still going on.
Did you guys hear today that in the Senate hearings that there was, I believe it was someone from the Social Security Department that was under oath and testifying, who testified that veterans, Missouri veterans, were specifically being targeted
right.
by the release of this information, and that information on their CCW was being correlated with any information on their health care and what type of health care they're VA benefits they're receiving.
Yeah, if they have a disability, if they're on some kind of medication, and they're a CCW PTSD, holder,
you name it, correct.
Then they're gonna, they're gonna want to come in and confiscate their guns. I mean, this is,
right.
you know, this is outrageous stuff. I mean, it's also outrageous. You know, the concealed carry part of this is a huge part of this, but it's not the big part. The big part is to have you've got to have this ID to drive and buy and sell and travel and, mm-hmm. You know, bank and even vote. I mean, they put machines in my county. You got to show an ID to vote now, and that's got to be that new card. That's the only card out there. I mean, you either get a driver's license or a non-driver's license government ID, and that's the ID card that they've got to have. So everything's going where you're going to have to show your government ID, and it's
papers,
an
please.
ID that is doing all the things that we're talking about, and it hasn't been stopped. And you know, even though the concealed carry part of it is a huge part of it. That's not anything like just, you know, getting a basic card. And I'm afraid I hear all this talk about the CCW part of it. That's, you know, I'll quit getting a CCW thing. I mean, you know, I'm a concealed carry card holder, and my information was given to the feds, too, along with everybody else's. But what really concerns me is I got to get this driver's license to buy or sell or bank or fly. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to fly to see some of my grandkids, you know, a couple thousand miles. I won't be doing much of that without a, you know, it's just, it's extremely concerning.
So what can we do, Bob? I mean, I am really torqued, like you, that we have a bunch of people in Jefferson City just kind of wringing their hands. They're going through the motions. They're having these hearings. They're asking these questions. But nobody has done anything to shut this down. All of that machinery should have been confiscated and taken out in trucks weeks ago. It should have been gone.
I agree. I just sat here shaking my head. I mean, any other illegal operation would have been stopped immediately. And then you hear all this stuff, well, you have to file, or we're going to have to hire an attorney. You don't hire an attorney to shut down an illegal gambling ring. You don't hire an attorney to bust a neighbor. You don't have to file a complaint against somebody that's doing a big drug, you know, a drug dealer. I mean, that's against the law. I mean, why aren't our law enforcement walking in and shutting these people down? Why can't the legislators get together? You know, the Republicans have a super majority. I'm sure there's Democrats that aren't for it either. I mean, why can't they figure out a way to stop this? I don't know. I just sit here and scratch my head.
Well, the reality is they really don't want to stop it. They don't want – I mean, Peter Kinder just – I mean, he gave it all away today as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
When he was asked, you know, is this an impeachable offense, they don't really want to impeach him. You know, they want to look like they're doing something. But they don't really want to do anything about it because, you know, perhaps fingers would turn back on them. You know, maybe if they get in power, they want to maintain that power. They don't want it to go away, or else it would go away.
Yeah, well, you know, I know Peter Kinder well enough. I think he's, you know, I think he's extremely opposed to this and would like to, I think he would like to impeach the governor in a heartbeat over it. I just don't think he wanted to go there because, you know, it just, you know, would kind of look bad. It's kind of like, you know, me being involved in a run for Congress saying anything about any of the other candidates who are in it now. It's just, you know, you don't really want to hear from somebody so close to it. So
Peter
Kinder
is a Republican,
understand his,
and Nixon is a Democrat. Why is he worried about what's going on in the other party? He's there to protect the rights of Americans.
I don't know. I've been around politicians enough. I've never been one, but I've been around them enough to know that, you know, they're pretty cautious that they just don't want it to look like a political move. I mean, they're kind of damned if they do and damned if they don't, kind of.
And therein may lie the real problem, that politicians are too much politicians and they're not really looking after the people's business.
Yeah, they're worried about
their
careers.
The next election. And forgive me if I'm being too cynical, but I've been around a lot of politicians over the last 4 years myself, and I have seen that play out over and over and over again. And unfortunately,
well, and
it's playing out on our side.
Don't get me wrong, I'm extremely disappointed, extremely, you know, with our political process and a lot of people representing us, you know, but I do think there's good people involved in this fight that would like to stop it. I don't know if they really, you know, understand all there is to understand or, you know, I figured out, you know, I don't know. I'm sitting here trying to figure out, well, what would I do if I was a state rep? I mean, and I knew about this and I wanted to stop it. I mean, I can't go down there myself. You've got to get somebody to do it. So I don't know. We have a governor that's a part of it. I mean,
right.
You know, our executive official here is a part of it. I mean, he's being thanked by the department head running this program for all his help. I mean, he's, you know, Nixon is one of the 10 member board of governors that was handpicked by Obama that basically, you know, divided the United States up into 10 regions and took control of the National Guard. I mean, he's a part of all that. So, you know, we're in trouble in the state, and we've got to figure out a way to get this stopped and get a lot of this other stuff corrected.
This is the way it's got to stop. This is the way it's got to stop. We got to quit worrying about upsetting people and upsetting people's careers. Politics is messy. Justice and freedom is messy, and we cannot worry about upsetting people or saying impeachment or, you know, hurting somebody's career or, you know, doing something radical. We've got laws. We've got, you know, being a politician is, it's harder to be a parent than it is to be a politician. And the reason is because parents do not have a guidebook. You know, politicians have guidebooks. We've got constitutions. We've got statutes. All
yeah, we've
day
got
long
laws, yeah.
To follow,
yeah, yeah.
And they're not following them. You know, when you're a parent, you kind of have to fly by the seat of your pants and use your
yeah.
judgment. God
yeah.
forbid we leave judgment up to our politicians, because they're not using very good judgment. They can't even follow the rules that are in concrete black and white.
And something else, too, that is concerning, I think, is that our state legislature, I can't believe I'm even going to say these words, Lisa. Our state legislature only has a couple more weeks to be in session, and it will be 8 months before anything can legislatively be done to correct what's happening with this DOR thing.
We don't need new legislation. We've got legislation.
Correct.
Okay,
we've got legislation.
But our legislature, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. If our legislature wants to impeach the governor, how is that going to happen if they're no longer in session? Can they do that? I don't think anything will be done
until they come back in session, if anything's done then. And in the meantime, you're going to have thousands and thousands of people in Missouri that have gone in and gotten their new license. You know, the thing is, if I get stopped, I mean, I went through a drunk driving setup down here, the other night where they stopped me. They want to, I don't drink. So, I was fine, and I knew some of the guys, and I was fine, but... You know, what are you going to do? But I showed him my driver's license. What do I do when I pull up and I don't have one? And I say, well, you know, I decided I'm not going to get one anymore because I don't want to comply with the Real ID Act. And they're going to say, hey, buddy, you know, we got a problem.
Right.
So I've got to break the law to obey, I've got to break Missouri law to obey the law now. I mean, we have, this is real, just anarchy. This is chaos that we have going on in the state.
Yeah, we got to stop worrying about our relationships with the elected, and we got to start doing something about this. We need pitchforks and torches in Jefferson City. What we need to do is we need to have a sit-in in front of the governor's mansion. If the legislature lets this lapse, if they close the session out without doing something serious about getting this done, is we need to go and have a sit-in at the governor's mansion and demand that he's taken out of there. Park a moving truck right in front of the governor's mansion and get him out of there.
I mean, whatever will work. I mean, I've been to a lot of rallies. I've held signs on sidewalks. But the media never comes, and the people that you protest, they don't care. So, I mean, I'm for that, and I'll go to Jeff City, and I'd be glad to protest in front of Governor Nix's house. No problem. But the thing is, after being, at many tea parties and many events, yelling into microphones for several years now, it's like, that's not getting their attention. That's not working. Like, I had a lady today, she posted on Facebook and said, well, we need to get that governor's number and everybody needs to call him. And it's like, they're not listening to us. They don't care. I mean, they're criminals.
Right.
They're criminals,
Perhaps another avenue to get this taken care of, which I heard today, is going to be for the citizens of the state to get an attorney and to file a lawsuit against the governor, against whomever, and hopefully maybe get a judge to place an injunction against all of the DOR offices and to prohibit the use of those machines, and better yet, for that judge to order that they be confiscated until the case is settled.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that'd be great, a class action lawsuit.
I think
get everybody involved.
Is maybe the only thing that we have moving forward, because I don't think the legislature is going to do what they need to do.
Nope.
I don't think they're going to do it in the next 2 weeks.
No, I'm praying that they prove me wrong, but I don't see it happening. And they're going to use every excuse under the sun for not doing it. They needed to do the budget. They needed to pass more tax increment financing, whatever. Kinds of tax credits. They needed to do all of that, and they're not going to get it.
You know what? And they need to be the next to go, because they are betraying their duties. They are not living up to their fiduciary responsibilities to the people of Missouri. And if it means we lose our Republican-led legislature, then so be it, because they're not acting like Republicans. I'm about at that place where I just don't even care if they're Republicans or Democrats in there anymore, because they're not standing up to their responsibility to the people.
we don't seem to be able to get anything done anymore. And now when we have this absolute flagrant violation of the law, and we still can continue to see this just, you know, it just keeps going on. And it, I don't know. I'm as frustrated as you can get. I mean, I'm extremely frustrated. I have friends that are extremely frustrated. I mean, I've spent hours and hours and hours on this. I've been hours on the phone. I've sent emails. I've talked to, you know, about everybody I know to, you know, to talk to, and we haven't got it. You know, we haven't got it stopped. So I don't know. I mean,
okay. All right, Bob Parker, we appreciate you coming on. I hope you'll come back and keep us updated as things develop, because you've been a wealth of information, and you certainly got your finger on the pulse of this situation, and we'd love to have you come back and keep us updated on this.
Well, I'd love to, Lisa, and hopefully I'll have better news next time.
I hope so, too. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Amazing. Just amazing. Just infuriating. I'm so mad.
It's hard not to be very angry about this, and to
you know, we have it's just infuriating.
I'm just speechless again.
You know, I probably should have brought this up earlier when we were talking about education. You know, there was a story in St. Louis today, late last week. The Speaker of the House is kicking people out of their committee positions. Because they're not voting the way he wants them to vote on education reform bills.
Oh.
Yeah, it was, you know what, I'll post a link up on MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org.
Wow.
The conduct, and I know that this is a fact. I mean, I've been disputed. Here's what's going to happen here in Missouri, okay? Jay Nixon, he's term limited out, and you know, and nobody's going to have the guts to get him out of office. He'll finish out his term because we have a spineless legislature. Nobody will stand up to him. I mean, we can't even get the lieutenant governor to say the word impeachment and just turned his stomach. He couldn't even utter the words. So Jay Nixon will finish his term. Tim Jones will be the nominee for governor to run against probably Koster, who will be the nominee on the Democratic side. And we're going to have a situation in Missouri like we had with the national elections in November, where we got a Republican-picked, hand-picked,
uh-huh,
party-picked nominee,
uh-huh,
you know, who nobody wanted because he wasn't the guy to do the job. You know, he wasn't conservative enough. He wasn't really what people wanted. That's exactly what's going to happen here in Missouri. We're going to get Tim Jones as the governor nominee for the next term, and he'll run against Koster, who's the guy who's up in, you know, it's his turn, I guess, on the Democratic side. And the people of Missouri are just going to be screwed. We're just going to, and the guy's a tyrant. I mean, he's bouncing people out of – I mean, he's, you know, well within his rights to do it. You know, he's got the authority to do it in the legislature. But I have been told specifically, privately, by legislators that he is bumping people out of their positions if they're not voting with them on certain issues. I have been actually told that by legislators. So he is absolutely doing this. And
no doubt it. I think he started showing his colors a while ago. Unfortunately, too many Missouri patriots are still not seeing that he is not the conservative friend that they think he is.
Oh, absolutely not. And
on,
he rose to power.
Issues, on some key issues.
Oh,
and
lots
so,
of key issues.
Yeah.
Well,
and
somebody who cannot get right to work passed in this state, you know, who is intentionally sitting on it when he's got a Republican veto-proof legislature to get it done, you know, he's going to be the next governor nominee, folks. I mean, just, you know, mark my words. So
all about the politics.
Oh.
And, you know, speaking of education, just a little tidbit I wanted to share with you. We received our East Central College flyer. We live in the Union Franklin County area. And interestingly enough, on their pre-preparation for the GED test, they're warning everyone who needs their GED that if they don't have it by January of 2014, all of the standards are going to be changed, and the test is going to be changed to meet the Common Core standards.
Oh,
and so
God.
If any of them are working on their GEDs, they need to get it done before January of 2014, or they will have to start all over again.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, people have been asking me about that. You know, when were the standards going to be changed, especially regarding the ACT and SAT, yep. because we know that David Coleman is now the he was actually one of the architects for the Common Core Standards for English Language Arts, and now he's the president of the College Board Association. And people with high school kids who are going through high school now, preparing to take their college board examinations, are wondering where are they going to be when they get ready to take their college right. boards. You know, what's going to change? Right. And he has said he's going to change the standards on the college board. So it's all happening, folks. Oh, it's all
right.
happening. It's
just and so I just thought that was kind of interesting that we're already seeing changes to. You know, we have a granddaughter who's getting ready to start working on her GED, and we were talking about that today, and she said, I better hurry up and get it because she said, I'm not sure I can do it if they change everything from what I learned in school.
Right.
So
it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. And they just warned right here in one paragraph, beginning in 2014, those who don't complete the current test or miss passing by even 1 point will have to start over.
Oh man, amazing!
Yeah.
Speaking of Common Core, I posted something up at Missouri Grassroots Coalition today. Desi is feeling the heat, folks. You know, I mean, they expected to be able to slide this through without anybody finding out about it, and now people have found out about it. I mean, it's a done deal, pretty much. It's almost a done deal, but now they're feeling the heat. You know, they didn't get to do it in the complete cover of darkness that they thought they were going to be able to operate under. And so what they've decided to do is they're holding a series of meetings tomorrow night all over the state. There's 8 meetings. There's 2 here in the St. Louis area, one at the Hazelwood District office on Newhalls Ferry Road, and one at the Lindbergh District office at 4900 South Lindbergh Boulevard tomorrow evening at 6:30 to 8 p.m., also in Cape Girardeau, the Cape Girardeau Career Center, the Career and Technology Center, Springfield Craft Administration Center, rooms A and B, Marceline Walsworth Community Center, Camdenton School District Hawthorne Elementary School, Warrensburg Middle School Library Media Center, and the Center Senior High School Cafeteria in Kansas City, Missouri on Holmes Road. Tomorrow 6:30. You can show up to those meetings, folks. When an educratic entity or a bureaucratic entity holds meetings like this, they usually expect just their own people to show up, and that's usually what happens. Just their own people show up. The only people, what they call the stakeholders, you know, those folks show up to these meetings. If they get rooms full of average, everyday Missouri taxpayers, they are going to need to change their underwear because they're not expecting you to show up. They're not expecting you to be engaged. Please show up at one of these meetings. And you can go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. I did a blog post on it today. It's on the front page of the website. There's information on each of these meetings. And there's also a list of very interesting questions that you should take with you to the meetings. And you should expect answers to these questions. Questions such as, were any pilot studies done on Common Core standards before they were adopted and implemented? And I'll tell you right now, the answer is no. Is there 3 to 5 years of research available to consider Common Core standards the best educational practice? And where can you find the research? Well, you can't because there isn't any. Has a cost-effectiveness study been done? Probably not. There's a whole list of questions that you can find there on that issue, and show up to that meeting, you know, armed with good questions, and don't take no for an answer, because really what these meetings are designed to do is they're all very well prepared. All of those folks all across the state are going to be very well prepared. They're going to have a presentation for you. It's going to be a spin session, and they're going to sell you on Common Core and tell you how rigorous the education is and how great it's going to be for your kids. And, you know, don't buy into it. Go in there and ask those questions and make them answer them for you. Make sure. And so go to the website, download that information, and show up and be engaged and help us defeat this thing. You know, we'll keep you updated on the progress of the bills, Senate Bill 210, and I think it's, 616, House Bill 616. We'll see where those go. They'll probably both die, but you know, because nobody's really fighting for you in the legislature, folks. They're not really interested in you or your kids. They just as soon see Common Core go through, regardless of if they're Republicans or Democrats.
happening, right? You know, Lisa.
Go ahead.
You know, Lisa, it occurred to me that 4 years ago we were organizing Tea Party events all around the state, all around the country, and people were coming out in mass, hitting the streets with their signs and outraged at what was happening. And, you know, I think the time for that type of action has passed, but the Tea Party needs to take that same energy, that same outrage, that same frustration, and that same we're not going to take it anymore, and we need to start taking it to these type of community meetings, to our school board meetings, to mm-hmm. our city council meetings. We need to take it to Jefferson City, and we need to stop kissing the backsides of politicians and start holding them to account for what they do.
Well, what we really need to do is we need to take it to the ballot box. You know,
and the ballot box, of course.
When we were talking to Bob, you know, I mean, even Bob had a tone in his voice where he's friends with Peter Kinder. He doesn't want to push too hard. He doesn't want to rock the boat. You got to stop that, folks. You got to see that, you know, even your friend, you know, if he's a legislator, he may be your friend, but I'm telling you, he's not working for you, and you are exacerbating the problem if you are not pushing through that friendship, because he's not your friend.
Right.
He's using you. If he's not doing his job, and he's using you, if he knows that you'll stop short of pushing him and holding his feet to the fire.
Right. Exactly.
The reality is somebody position should not be afraid to say the word impeachment. We have laws set up for a reason. We have an entire veto-proof legislature that's in sitting in Jefferson City who's not going to push this thing forward because they don't want to. They're sitting in Jefferson City wringing their hands, trying to find a way to look like they're doing something but not really do anything at all.
Right.
And that's exactly what's happening.
You know, and our job with our legislators is really no different than being a parent. You know, in our house we had rules, and if you broke the rules, you knew that one of the penalties could be being grounded. It could be losing really, really privileges that you really wanted. And
right.
good parents follow through and they make it happen. Well, we need to make sure that our legislators are following through and utilizing the laws at hand, and they have the ability to impeach this governor, for example, and they
mm-hmm.
need to follow through and do it, because he has so transgressed his oath of office. He has completely betrayed the trust of the people of this state. He has violated us. He has treated us badly, and he needs to be impeached for what he's done. He's broken the law, and he
Absolutely.
Shouldn't be allowed to get away with that.
Absolutely.
And they aren't our friends. It is not
Mm-mm.
our job to be friends with our legislators. It's our job to hold their feet to the fire. It's our job to make sure that they do their job. And if they don't, even though they may be a good buddy that we can sit down and have a beer with or a glass of iced tea with, and our kids play soccer together, at the end of the day, if they don't do their job, they need to be fired.
Yep. Yep. And that's the thing. I mean, if you're running up against your legislator, I don't care who he is, what part of the state he's from, how hard you work to get him into office, if you're looking at your legislator right now questions and you're afraid to take that, if there's a small feeling inside of you, if you're afraid to take that step and insist that they do your job because you're afraid of hurting your reputation or your relationship with that person, you are part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. Don't complain when your freedoms are taken away, when you have to go into the license bureau and get your picture taken, and you know that information is going to go straight to the UN and you're going to be on a global database. You are part of the problem. You're not part of the solution because you didn't push hard enough,
right.
because you were afraid of ruining a friendship with someone
That's
who's
right.
in elected office.
That's
None
right.
of
you
these
know what?
People can be your friend.
That's right. And you know, Lisa, at the end of the day, we're all going to be faced with the choice that Bob put forth, that if we are not willing to push our legislators, if we're not willing to take a good friend like Peter Kinder, Bob's friend, that he trusts and has a lot of faith in, and maybe Peter Kinder behind closed doors would talk about impeachment, but that's something that he needs to be willing to talk about it
in public
now. And the thing about it is that if he won't, then we have to hold him to account. We just have to. And we cannot continue to play these games and expect anything to change, because the next step is going to be civil disobedience or compliance. It's going to be your only choice.
Right.
Now, wouldn't you rather hold him accountable and make him do the right thing now than have to participate in acts of civil disobedience in order to make it happen? Like
you would
not
think.
Getting your driver's license to avoid being put into that database?
You would think. And that's why it's important, folks, too. Not only you've got to step outside the Patriot bubble, you've got to bring one more person into the Patriot
right.
bubble. This is serious information. You've got a lot of proof about what's going on. So you, again, your homework for this week is to go outside the Patriot bubble and bring one person in and give them a little bit more information. Well, we need to wrap it up. We're almost out of time. So I want to thank you, Cindy, for being here with me tonight. Your help is invaluable and your input is invaluable. Thanks for being on with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks to all of our guests. Absolutely. Cindy and I will be back here next week to hopefully update you on all of these issues and with some great new guests. And I am going to hit the Kate Smith button, and we'll be talking to you on Wednesday at 7 week.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.